with the girlfriends. This is Julie without Christine Marie. Just a real quick intro to this podcast. This is a podcast done in an airport with my brother in San Diego, California. A little bit of a travelogue, I would say, but I hope you enjoy it. You may get a little more insights into our family, maybe. And at the end of the podcast, I do a wonderful interview with author David Ross on his book, I Finally Quit, and So Can You. You can find out more about him at ifinallyquit.com. Incredible interview. Christine Marie and I are going to talk about his book next week on the podcast, but I thought I'd let you hear the interview first just to give you a little taste and maybe pick up the book before we talk about it next week on our podcast. So enjoy this special Life of the Girlfriends podcast. You can always find out more about us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. Go to Amazon.com and pick up our book, The Clutterfly Effect. And I'm just going to get right to it and enjoy. Thank you very much. Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie, but I'm wrong on that.
How are you wrong?
Are you Christine Marie?
maybe with testosterone pills.
Maybe.
No,
you're the son.
I am the son
of
Christine, your brother. I'm Greg.
You're Greg. Everyone, we have a treat today because I went to a conference. I was telling you guys last week that I was going to a conference in San Diego, all because of this man here, Gregory, my brother, from the same mother.
That's right.
And because he just took care of it all for me. He just said, yeah, let's go, San Diego.
Sure. I've been to San Diego before, and I love it. I love that town.
So any resistance I had to traveling, which there was some, he just took care of it all, and I just said, you know what? God, I put on my vision board, didn't know how it was going to happen, but you took care of it through my brother Greg.
That's right. I said, be at my house at 3 a.m.
Yeah, I said okay. Yes.
I know the flight is until 7, but I like to be early. I'm like, whoa, we are really early, Julie.
And I said, you know what? Better the early than late.
Cause that's right.
One thing my brother is, he can get stressed out if he's running behind.
Well, it's easy to get to run behind at O'Hare Airport, and the TSA and security is a long line.
Mm-hmm.
Today, on that day we left, there was no line. We just walked right in and got
and
to
like,
our flight.
Surprise!
Yeah.
That's right. Nothing bad was happening. It was all good to go.
Everything was great.
Yes. And so I said to Mom, I go, I'm coming back. And I just, you know what? I want to do one of those fun podcasts in the airport that you hear so much about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Joe Rogan does it sometimes, or
right.
I love the guy who does Doug Loves Movies. Sometimes
yes.
I do a quick one in the airport as he's
right.
traveling.
I'm oh, like, yeah.
I want to make my brother do one.
Sure. I'm up for it. I'm game.
Yeah, and also, too, I did some interviews while I was at the conference.
That's right.
And the conference was about entrepreneurship and marketing, but it really, it was interesting because the interviews I did, one was with a marketer and the other one was a marketer, too, of course, but I did one with Chris Luck, who's a marketer who has lots of membership sites.
Right.
Great little interview. And also, I did an interview with David Ross. And his story was phenomenal.
Yes.
Well, I did a lot of living.
Right. I appreciate the fact that when you met him, you just said, hey, we are going, I'm going to give you a hug because
right.
you've just been through it all. You've been through a ton of stuff. And
well, yeah.
before you even asked him one single question, you went, give me a hug.
Give me a hug. I just read your whole life story.
Yes.
Give me a hug. He goes, okay. I mean, the guy's going to put it all out there.
Yes.
I mean, I feel I know him. I was
right.
like, oh, man, you've really revealed your soul to me.
Yes.
I have no other option but to hug you.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And Greg, just to let you know, that's how you got your wife, right? You
bared
your soul.
I bared my soul. And she hugged me.
And she hugged you like,
and then,
hey.
I got my wife because I was myself.
That's
I was
right.
authentic. I was genuine. And
tips in marketing that we learned.
Right. That's right.
And it's all about sales and marketing.
That's
even
right.
yourself.
I sold myself to
That's
my
right.
to my wife. And she bought it.
And
because she put a ring on it.
And she put, that's right. That's exact. And she bought it.
On my finger.
Yeah.
She put a ring on my finger.
Instead of someplace else.
And I put
else.
A ring on her finger. That's
yeah,
right.
Go. See, that way it's much
I don't know
more,
where you're going with that.
Well, putting a ring on the finger is much more traditional.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, being in California,
and we are,
We saw rings everywhere.
I saw two naked men in California. That's yeah. right. Down La Jolla Cove. I walked down the cliffs, yeah. the trail, down by the, it was Torrey Pines, where they do all the paragliding and parachuting mm-hmm. off the cliffs. I ran down there, and to my surprise, I didn't know this, but there were naked men down there.
And you're like, whoa, hello there.
I still ran down the beach, though. I'm like, yeah. I'm not letting this stop me. I'm still going to enjoy myself.
Right, but just there because are naked they're naked, they're yeah. not, it's not their beach.
No, it's everybody's beach.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, if that was the case, I'd be naked yeah. on a beach. I'm claiming this beach.
Right. I don't feel uncomfortable that I'm dressed. The yeah. only one dressed here.
And you didn't see a sign there, did you?
No.
Says, clothing not optional. You must not wear clothing.
I did not see a clothing optional sign at all.
Right. I always thought that when it said clothing optional, people would really say, okay, I opt for clothes.
Yes.
It's not. That's not true. It's not the case.
No.
It says clothing optional. It really means
right.
we opt for no clothes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I was just saying, live and learn.
That's right.
Live and
that's
learn.
Right.
If yeah. they give you the option, it means yeah. I'm not taking it.
Right. I have been, you know, I have been to an actual nude beach, right?
Yes.
Yes. And it was.
It was just, an eye-opener?
Yes, it was an eye-opening experience. I can't.
Did you partake in the experience?
Oh, heck no. Okay. No way. That's kidding me? Come on. That water's cold.
There you go.
I ain't going to go.
You're like, I'm not that comfortable
in
my body.
I am not that comfortable.
That's the thing. I mean, you got to be really comfortable with it all.
You do.
And sometimes, which I love, is that if you go to a nude beach or whatever,
uh-huh.
or a nudist colony, doesn't mean that everybody partakes in the same kind of grooming. Sometimes they're very, like,
right.
perfect.
Right.
And other times it's like, I'm au naturel.
Well, I think it's you imagine that, except for the fact that when you go to, you don't look.
That's exactly right.
So who knows?
Exactly
I don't
right.
know.
In my mind, everybody's just literally standing in front of bushes.
Right.
You know? That's what they're doing.
Standing in front of bushes?
Yeah, have you seen that commercial?
I guess. I thought maybe we're going with a double entendre.
I was.
Oh, good. Oh, okay.
And you got it.
I got it.
If the commercial and the marketing can work for it, I get that marketing.
Yes, I get that marketing.
It's yeah. a wonderful thing.
Right.
And so I want to talk today about having a good time, because sometimes you just need to get away for a couple days.
Yes.
And it literally was just a couple days.
It was, yeah.
We packed a lot of living in these 3 days.
We sure did.
To get renewed.
Yeah.
And we forget how important it is to do something that has novelty to it.
Sure.
That renews the mind, renews the spirit. You can do that when you're staying at home, maybe taking a break out in nature. But, my gosh, to see a different place, a different mm-hmm. world, it really gets you stirring.
Right.
And you had asked me a question. You said, so, Julie, where do you want to go next? Now that you, in some sense, broke your cherry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
First
okay.
off. Woo. I don't think you said it like that, did you?
No, I did not say it like that.
I don't think I've ever said it like that to my sister.
Right.
I you
get,
refused.
But I get where you're going, okay?
Okay. Get where I'm going. All right. Cool.
Which is, in a sense, you had a trip within 2 weeks. You were going on a plane.
Yeah.
And
have
little,
been
very
plane
little,
a long
like,
time.
You didn't plan this a long time. And, you know, halfway across country or whatever.
Right.
And so, go ahead.
You know, no. So what's interesting is because I haven't been traveling a lot except for local weekend jaunts. Like, they are local, just driving. This right. was a big trip. And so
right.
I said, where are you going to go now? I'm
right.
like, well, the one thing about going to Southern California is that you just see an incredible amount of abundance. I mean,
yes,
the palm trees are huge. The
yes.
homes are small but beautiful, and some
right.
are huge.
Right.
You live on the coast. Everything just feels...
There's some fantastic cars.
Oh, my gosh.
Maseratis, Porsches.
And the weird part about California
supercars.
Is that
yes.
everywhere you walk into, they give you a cancer warning.
That is really weird.
Literally, I'm saying every place.
Everywhere.
You know, restaurant...
We drove into the parking structure,
yes.
and it said, this parking structure could give you cancer.
Yes.
Or is known to give you cancer.
It has chemicals in this parking structure that has been known to give cancer. I'm
yeah.
like, well, okay, what's
okay.
so different about this parking lot
yeah.
compared to other parking
right.
lots? Nothing.
Who knows?
Just California. And also, too, at the hotel, we were ordering room service, and it said on there, hey, by the way, bing, 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 warning.
Yeah.
You know, you may come into carcinogenics with
because we have fries.
Right.
And we do grill or hamburgers.
Yeah.
Like, it's holy, like, mother everything. Of God. And so I was like, well, you know, first of all, I felt really guilty.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, my God.
I just kind of realized this, though. If they're doing that to everything, like your food,
yeah,
it's only a natural progression for people to start being completely vegan.
Yeah, of course.
Vegetarian, everything. You're raw. Right.
Either you totally yeah. just say, give everybody the finger, I'm going to eat bad anyway.
Yeah.
Or through osmosis, if that's yeah. even the right terminology.
Sure.
You and marketing.
Yes.
You know, I mean, here's the problem. That's the marketing spiel. Right. You know, you're going to get cancer. That's yeah. the promise. Why? Because there's carcinogenics here.
What's the premise? What's the promise?
Yeah. Promise is cancer.
I will sell you something really? that will cure all this.
Gluten-free?
No.
Midwest.
Midwest living.
Midwest living. That's right. We don't have those signs.
No, we don't have those signs here.
Because we don't have cancer.
No, we don't. or the signs and by the seals.
Oh, my gosh.
Which I was like,
and I'm not
yeah.
making a lot of cancer, first
no.
of all.
No, my God. Let's yeah.
Let's just.
Oh, we should actually, maybe we'll move on to a different subject, but.
No, I don't want to.
Okay.
Because we all, you know, everything's a thing, right?
Right.
And, we also went to this one cove.
La Jolla Cove.
So there was naked men, but there a few hundred yards down, there was also naked seals.
Right.
A ton of naked seals.
Right. Right.
And they just mingled with the people so nicely.
Yeah, I was amazed by that. I did not see that the last time I went to San Diego.
No.
And they were right
boy,
next to people.
Did it smell.
It stunk.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I almost felt like it wasn't worth it. I mean, it was worth seeing it, but I literally
like,
couldn't no. stay much longer. It
right.
was, whoa, bad.
They did have signs up that said don't swim in the water because the bacteria level is higher than what is
health
standards allow.
Yeah. No kidding, really?
Right, I wonder why.
They got literally in this cove area.
About 150 seals.
Yeah.
Doing their thing.
Exactly. Having a good old time.
People were still swimming with them.
Because not next to that sign,
yeah.
there's a sign that says underground playground. And
yeah.
it has a person with a snorkel mask on.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, what if you didn't speak English and you understood that the underground playground was here through the
sure.
tourist pack that you got
right.
in the mail
right.
in your language.
Right.
But you didn't notice the
big warning
the
sign.
The warning sign that was only in English and Spanish. You'd be screwed. And you'd go,
yeah.
I'm going down there.
I think people who do it, they say, I came down here to swim
so
with
the seals. I'm
swimming with the seals. Well,
yeah.
you know, you said that about taking pictures with the seals. Where
right.
I was like, yeah, we've seen them. You're
yeah.
like, I'm taking my picture with a seal. Nobody's stopping me. And I'm like, okay, you go, girl.
And I was stopped.
You were stopped by the seals.
By
the seals, you were stopped.
Because they were literally on the steps. They're like, no one's passing.
Yeah.
they're just, it was like a cool night, and there's just a couple seals literally just on the
mm-hmm.
steps. And it's like, oh my goodness gracious.
Yep.
Ah.
Yep.
And
yeah.
so I enjoyed it, and I just like going with the flow.
Right.
Like, you know what? It's their cove, not mine.
They've been coming to that cove, think about it, for millennia.
Probably.
You know, for thousands of years.
I mean, I don't know if that's totally true.
It has to be. There have been seals coming to that spot.
Right.
Since before people were here.
Right. Hold on 1 second.
And so the seals have been coming there forever because that's what seals have been doing. There's only been people here in California for...
Good. I'll see if there's any feedback.
Oh, okay.
We're good. I'll let that little part out.
Yeah.
Oh, we're back.
We're back.
We had a little technical difficulty.
Yes.
Mostly I was making sure that we weren't getting airport feedback.
Yeah.
And we weren't.
Yeah.
I'm aware of.
No.
The one thing is I can't listen to the podcast over the computer at the same time I'm doing it.
Right.
Because I get a real weird psychedelic
yeah.
feel.
Now, I like the echo when I listen to it.
Do
it doesn't
you like
bother
it?
Me, but I like it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm on a bad trip.
Yeah.
And I have never been on a trip before, but I figure if I'm going to be on a trip,
yeah,
and it was Southern California,
yeah, right.
it's going to feel like
it's
that.
It's going to feel like that.
Yeah.
It could be. Yeah.
It really could be.
Yeah.
So, Greg, what was
sure.
one of the best part of the trips for you?
Best part of the trip for me, best parts. Well, it was a fantastic trip, a 3-day getaway. I really loved meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved meeting the people I met, the interviews. But... I just kind of like, I like the fact that I've been to San Diego before. I kind of knew the city.
Yeah.
I knew exactly where I wanted to take you.
Right.
We got there with a little bit of trouble. I mean, for some reason, the iPhone maps would not work in this town.
Yes.
And then once I realized Google Maps worked,
yeah,
it was
life
perfect.
Life became better.
Life became easy.
Well, the only problem I have this trip, and I won't even consider it a problem because I just let it go.
Thank
I
God.
I let it go in the sense that I was going to ride your ass on this, but I wasn't going to let it turn me down.
Right.
And that was, oh my God, you drive so aggressively.
Sure. Well.
You drive like a suburbanite.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like you had a fast car. You just kind of had like a Corolla.
We had a Toyota Corolla.
You know? Had a little kick to it.
It was a four. I don't know. I think it was a four-cylinder.
You tried to have a little kick to it.
Yeah, it had no kick to it.
And I was just like, he goes, I don't know what speed limit it is. I go, that does not mean you go 65. If you don't know the speed limit, do not be the fastest car on the road.
Right.
Well, where's the sign at? I go, I don't know.
But
don't be the fastest car. And I just said, okay, Julie, center yourself. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
We just had an agreement. I was going to say, Greg, I trust you implicitly.
Right.
However, I'm still going to let you know if there's brake lights ahead.
Sure.
And you're not stopping.
Right. Well, it's true. And I appreciate it because it will be that one time. When I don't see something or someone pulls in front of me.
Yeah.
And that'll be it.
And I decided I wasn't going to be upset if you got mad. Neither one of us did.
No. Neither one of us got mad.
No. It was like just a thing.
Yeah.
This is just how it was.
Right.
And it was interesting because the one thing I had talked about with friends about going, I said, I'm looking so forward to just being with my brother.
Yeah.
Haven't been with him just in a long, long time.
I know, right? Just me and you?
Yeah. I mean, we used to travel with grandma.
Sure.
You know, and long cross-country trips.
Well, again, growing up, we would just be together. Mom and dad would be gone.
Yeah, we'd be together.
We'd be hanging out, you know. Yeah. So it has been decades since we've been alone together.
Yeah, like, just alone.
Yeah, just like hanging out, doing stuff.
Yeah, and this was so much fun.
Yeah.
And
I'll tell you what I liked.
Right.
I like, since you're my older sister,
yeah,
you're usually the leader.
Right.
I like the fact that this time,
I'm
the leader.
That's right. You were the leader.
I kind of was like showing you.
That's right. You were.
Because I'm the savvy traveler.
That's right.
You know?
You're the savvy traveler.
They took your hairspray away.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Well, you did bring a mega ultra-sized can of hairspray.
They
you
let
should,
me.
Did you see the? No, they didn't.
They did too.
I'm just saying that you had it hidden away and they didn't see it.
I didn't hit anything.
I know you didn't.
Okay.
I'm just saying it was pretty hilarious when the security guy pulled out this like bowling pin sized can of hairspray and he's like looking at me going, "What?" Like,
what?
I was like,
"This can't
what
be legal.
What is this? Who needs this much hairspray? How long were you gone?" I'm like, throw it away. Just toss it. It's like hairspray.
And he took away my moisturizer that I had.
That is pretty funny, too.
My Equate moisturizer
looked at
from
it,
Walmart.
Like, he was like, what is this?
Why'd you bring this along?
That's my moisturizer. We're in a desert. I'm dry.
I need to moisturize.
Yeah.
I don't have wrinkles.
Right.
And, of course, I did get a little burnt, and I got a little.
Okay. There were several, what do you want to call it, grievances about how you did it wrong. They were not in a plastic bag.
Oh,
you
yes.
just had them loose.
Is that wrong?
Yeah.
I mean, like, is it really wrong? Like,
yes.
Illegally wrong?
3 ounces, one size quart bag.
Oh, interesting. In a bag.
Yes.
Oh, then that, I totally.
So, like, it was just so funny. He brought this, like, Jesus.
I thought you had everything in bags because you were organized.
I am organized, but I had brought bags because I was supposed to, and I had brought extra bags for you.
I thought just be organized.
But a bowling pin sized can of hairspray did not fit in any one quart bag.
But here's the thing: I'm not supposed to say this, but I'm going to say this anyway. It's on the return trip.
Yeah.
So I didn't have it with me.
You got away with it once.
and because probably it was crowded.
Right.
And they're like, this girl's not at risk.
Yeah. And it is just a can of hairspray.
Right.
But still, it was.
And
like,
my moisturizer.
And your
moisturizer.
I love how they go. I love
like,
how he was like looking through your purse and you're like apologizing.
I
just came from a conference. I know it's messy. I just, you're searching my stuff.
I have half-eaten bars in there. And I'm like, what else do I have in there?
In
one part of my suitcase, I have my wet trunks in there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, jeez. I went swimming before,
Yeah, I know.
Well, that was interesting. I did go swim in an Olympic-sized pool that was full of salt water.
That's right.
And I have to say, I was impressed at how I handled it. Because I'm not a big salt water lover. Okay. I don't like the ocean in my mouth. Exactly.
No, I don't either. It's
a lot of reasons.
It's disgusting.
But for the main reason, it tastes like salt.
Yeah.
But the pool, I was amazed that it didn't taste a lot like salt. Except that I'm sitting in it, and you're sitting in it. We did it at 5 in the morning this morning.
Right.
A light rain.
Right.
Dark.
It was great.
It was great. And I just kept thinking to myself, you know, all of us humans just kind of sitting in the salt water, it's almost like we're a stew for aliens. I mean, a human stew.
They call it soup, Julie. Yeah, we were the soup.
What's going on here?
Right.
I'm like, if they throw in a couple of carrots and celery, we've got to get out of here.
Yeah.
It was run. Or we see a white light coming, approaching. Get the hell out.
Right.
Because they're just getting us ready for eating.
That's right.
Remember that Twilight Zone episode?
Oh.
Serve to serve, man.
Yeah.
And the line is,
right,
get out of there. It's a cookbook.
It's a cookbook.
It's a cookbook to serve, man. It's a cookbook. Oh, my God. No. So, I mean, wouldn't it be interesting if it was really a conspiracy that all these pools filled with salt water is really just ways for us to get tenderized and ready for the aliens? Yeah,
I'd believe it.
And I'm not talking about Donald Trump aliens. I'm talking about the ones from above.
From above. I know, right? Which
Yeah.
Well, if out west, they were that much closer to, you know, Area
51.
51.
Yes. I was watching outside the plane the entire time to see if I could see anything.
Sure.
I saw a couple of close planes.
Saw planes.
And I was like, well, that's a little scary.
Like, there's a jet over there going the other way.
Really, really
it's
fast.
It's so close.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's really kind of amazing looking and neat.
I'll tell you what, this ride, I don't remember it being so smooth riding in a plane. It was beautiful.
There was no turbulence.
Mm-mm, not at all. It was a great time. I think I'm going to project right now and state and intend that there'll be no turbulence on the way home.
No.
It'll be a nice, easy trip.
Yep.
And so forth. And we're going to have a good time and end our trip on a high note.
Yes, we will.
And then we'll deal with construction on the end in Chicago.
Well, no, it's Sunday. It'll be a Sunday.
No traffic.
Yeah, no, there won't be any traffic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. A couple other things I thought were interesting is that there are an abundance of homeless people in San Diego.
Uh-huh.
And they seem to have their own system down. Like, they control the area under, like, trees, like shade trees.
Sure.
I'll see a park, and I'm like, three or four homeless people have spread themselves out under shade trees.
Right.
Some have dogs, some don't.
Right.
Well,
they call them tent cities. I mean, I think, isn't California kind of famous for that?
I think L.A. is. LA? Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, in Sacramento, I saw a lot of places, too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's homeless people everywhere, but I guess because the weather's so beautiful and consistent,
right,
at least you're not going to freeze to death. You know, and that's a key.
Right.
And when you were running down to the, we were up on a cliff, and you took this path down to the ocean by yourself to see the naked men.
The naked men.
Yeah. I was left up above by myself, and there was this. You know, I'm hearing this noise. Well, first of all, I'm looking above, and I see all these hang gliders, but they're not hang gliders per se.
Paragliders.
One was paragliders. They're just sitting. Just riding the trade winds.
Right.
It was so awesome feeling and looking.
Neat.
It's amazing looking. I thought, could I be brave enough to do this?
Right.
And I asked you, and you said,
hell no. Why would I do that? Yeah. I like my life.
Is
awesome.
I like my life.
I have no reason to get on a parachute that goes up.
Yes. And stays there.
And stays there.
And you pray you don't hit a cliff because you're literally only.
Yeah,
you know,
they're so close. They get really close to the cliffs.
Yeah.
It's
I remember watching this one travel show, and it was a race against countries in Europe. And they could go any way they wanted to, walk, ski, whatever, and you could do the paragliding.
Okay.
And sometimes they would just get tired, and they would just take their parachute out, hop on a trade wind, and hope to travel.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it would be so sad, because what would happen is they'd actually literally end up the exact, spend 10 hours in the air.
Oh, my God.
And end up like a half a mile away from where they started in the wrong direction.
Oh, my God.
And the announcer would be like, oh, it was a gamble.
Yeah.
And it didn't pay off.
Right.
But the race is long, and there's a lot of gamblers out there.
Right.
So chances are you're going to make it up someplace else.
Right.
So that was pretty fascinating. But I'm watching, and waiting for you, and the sun is setting very fast.
Right.
Now, I've always wanted to experience this. Have you heard about the green light phenomena?
I have not.
Okay, the green light phenomena is when there's no clouds in the sky, at least at the point of the horizon.
Okay.
As the sun goes into the horizon, before it turns dark, a flash of green light.
Okay.
So it's close to the sun setting. It's very, very close. I got my camera out. I'm waiting. It's slowly going. And then nothing. No green light.
Right.
So I think it's a lie. But
I think so, too. Yeah.
But during this process, I'm hearing this interesting guitar playing.
Okay.
Very interesting. I'm like, oh. I wonder if Gregory somehow brought his ukulele. I didn't remember. I'm like, because you did bring your ukulele.
Right.
And you did...
I did play
a lot
on the beach.
Yeah. and it wasn't. It wasn't you. I like, thank God, because he was horrible. Yeah, but he was having a good time.
Oh, sure.
I thought it was more than one person because he was doing a lot of talking by himself.
Yeah.
But it was just some guy. He had all the stuff with him. And playing something, music, talking, drinking. And, you know, I was with another guy. Another guy came up, a college student, because we were near San Diego's, you know, University of California, San Diego. And guy goes up to him and goes, hey, dude, you know, you want some drink here? And he goes, oh, dude, no worries. I'm fine. He goes, you look like a guy who needs to grow a pair. Damn. God, right off the bat, you're...
Wow, insulting that guy.
Insulting that guy. And the guy's like, no, I'm okay, dude. Yeah. I'm fine. Yeah, hey, no worries. No, man, you look good, but you look like a guy got a grow up hair. Come on, have a drink.
Yeah.
I got something. I got a hit, too. You want a hit of something?
Oh, my God.
And I'm thinking, oh, please don't ask me for anything. Well, first of all, I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
But I'm also starting to feel a little vulnerable.
Yeah, sure.
Just because it's starting to get dark out, and you're nowhere to be found. I'm starting to get a little ticked.
Sure.
And by the way, you're nowhere to be found because...
I'm at the bottom of a cliff.
And you got lost.
And I got lost.
You missed your...
I was running. I was trying to run back.
Enjoying having your Forrest Gump moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Just running.
And I missed the entrance to the staircase or whatever you want to call the trail going up to the top.
Yeah.
And so I had to turn around, and I asked one of the naked guys for
directions. Did you really?
I did.
And did he use something, his pointer?
He kept both hands on his hip, and he pointed the way to go.
That way. Just like Vacation.
Well, weirdly enough, when I had ran down there, I had my camera going, and he hopped over to his clothes and put his clothes on. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I did ask him for directions.
Did you?
Yes.
But that's so interesting. There was no woman around, were there? Because if there was a woman around, you were like, I'm not asking for directions.
There were no women around.
Women, that's it, not women.
And it was funny, too, because by the time he was there, and I had at the trail, and I said, you know, let me go first, you know, because I'm, you know, he said, no problem.
You know?
But I don't know why I'm mentioning that other than I didn't want to get stuck behind this guy.
Yeah.
I knew you were waiting for me, and I wanted to run up to the top.
Yeah. And I wouldn't want to get stuck behind a naked guy.
No.
Yeah. You know, I mean, from that position, like, come on, you know, dude.
Right.
So it was interesting because I saw that younger kid being talked to by the way intoxicated man who, you know, was wanting to share his drink with people.
Yeah,
you know,
geez.
That's awesome. But he was so kind. He's like, oh, don't know where he's, dude. I just, you know, don't feel like it right now.
Yeah.
Go, you know, you be safe. Have a good night. It's getting darker. And then all of a sudden, it's very rocky up there.
Uh-huh.
He slips and falls. Jeez. And you're like, oh, for heaven's
sake.
That
is scary because you could literally...
He could roll
off the cliff. There's nothing there.
He could start at the top of this slight incline or decline and roll right off the cliff, and you would feel really bad.
Right.
And so... He didn't. That didn't happen.
Right.
At least not on my watch.
Exactly.
I can't say what happened afterwards.
Right.
But I thought to myself, you know, in some ways, it's not a hugely bad life. I mean, he's pretty darn free.
Yeah.
And then the other side of me said, oh, I hope he doesn't have a mental illness. It's just like a choice. You know, he's really only one decision away from having a breakthrough.
Sure. Right.
You know.
Well,
but I saw,
okay,
you know, leaving Las Vegas, and there's not much of a...
Hold on. This is... I'm laughing right now because this is reminding me of a scene that we did, that you did, while we're waiting for our departure.
Oh, what did I do?
At the gate, you saw this man with some heavy beats headphones on. He was like conked out, laying on his side, rocking out really loud music. And you looked at me and you were like, is he missing his plane? Because he was kind of by people that were gone.
Yeah, we're
like,
gone.
Because they were boarding the plane.
He was there before we got there.
Yeah, and he was boarding a plane. It wasn't our plane. No, it was a different plane.
Because we were there 4 hours early.
And you're so helpful. You want to help people. And I love that about you. And you went up to him and you were pushing on him, tapping his arm. Sir. Sir. Tapping his arm, pushing, and he is not moving. And you're freaked out. You're like, I'm freaked out. You're like, you're yelling at this guy who's got the big old Beats headphones on.
And his arms crossed.
And he's not moving. And you keep touching him.
And I go, okay.
Sir.
And you're like, sir. Saying to me, Julie, just walk away. It's okay.
Just walk away. It's okay.
I go, his plane could be leaving. And if I was sleeping by mistake,
yes,
I'd want someone to like tap me. But literally the first time I'm like, sir. I didn't tap him first. I said, hey, sir.
And he's got sunglasses on, too.
Yeah, and I started tapping him, sir.
He's got these, like, not aviators, but sunglasses. You can't see his eyes.
Yeah.
He's just standing there, sitting there, arms crossed, beats on, and he's like, you're like, sir.
Yeah.
Sir. And then you start tapping his arm, tapping.
And he just keeps moving, but he's not waking up.
Oh, and then there is no sound other than you.
Yeah.
Yelling, sir.
And then there's another guy that comes and he's looking at me. I'm like, I look back at you and you're like, just let it go.
Let it go, Julie.
Let it go.
He kind of
moves and just kind of shook his head.
Yeah. He like,
and
to the beat?
To the beat, not even to me.
Oh,
he's like, oh, wait, the beat woke me up.
Yeah.
And I just said, oh, well.
Shook his head to the beat. And then we forgot about him and we looked back.
He was gone.
He was gone.
Now, I don't know if he made the flight or not.
Who knows?
But that was a very interesting.
Yeah.
And there were a couple times I helped people, and you're just like, you needed to get over on the right-hand lane.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And you cut somebody off. He let me in.
And I got into the lane.
And so I rolled out my window. You're like,
Julie, don't. You don't have to wave at him. You don't wave at him. Oh, okay. That was very sweet of you. You rolled down your window and you waved at him. I'm like, you don't have to. Don't. Okay. You're so sweet.
Exactly. Yeah. But I go, hello. Hello, dude. Thank you. Thank you for being human and letting us in because we don't know where we're going.
And right.
And we're driving a Corolla in this area, which obviously means it's a rental.
You know, he was like in an Audi. I'm like, he was fine. He knew what he was doing. He let me in.
Yeah.
He knew that black Corolla could only be a rental car to some tourist, who turned in one stoplight short of where he really wanted to be.
Exactly. Which is toward the naked guys.
Yes.
Yeah. So yes. But we took care of it.
Right.
We took care of it. That was good.
Right. What other good thing did we do? Did we talk about how we gave we stopped at McDonald's? I said we were not going to McDonald's.
Yes, and but then we had to go to the bathroom. We had nothing to drink, and we were dying of thirst.
Yes,
and we just go to McDonald's.
And the one McDonald's where I knew we were going to go to downtown there.
Yeah,
and
they changed some things around there from the last time you were there because they now require tokens to use the bathroom.
Well, we never went inside.
Oh, you didn't.
So
okay,
first for me too.
Oh, okay.
And they required tokens.
Okay,
and then I ordered a chicken sandwich, nothing on it.
Nothing on it, totally plain.
And a coffee.
And I ordered an iced tea.
Yeah.
And then we left, and there was a homeless man there, I think homeless, or just hanging out front. Yeah. And he goes, hey, kids, how you doing? I'm like, fine. He goes, well, you got some monetary advice for me or something like that?
Yeah.
He said in a very fancy way.
Yeah. And I go, I got a sandwich for you.
I got a couple of bucks, and I got a sandwich.
I had a sandwich.
He goes, I'll take them both.
Yeah.
I'm like, great.
What did you say afterwards?
As we're walking back to the car, I'm like, he's going to be so
mad.
I got
nothing on that sandwich.
That's
a plain sandwich. There's nothing on it.
There's no mayo.
There's no ketchup, no lettuce. Like,
nothing.
Got a plain sandwich?
Who are these people? Give me a... They go, that's why he gave me the sandwich.
That's why he gave me the sandwich. He didn't want it either.
Yeah.
I wasn't giving up anything. I was like, I didn't really want this anyway. It's a plain sandwich.
I wanted to have a real sandwich, but I just got a plain sandwich.
Yeah, a plain sandwich.
And so we did our good deed.
Yeah, that's right.
If you call it good deed, I just go out, hey.
We're paying it forward. We're doing whatever. We're seizing
the opportunity. Because someday I might need the
opportunity.
Help.
That's right.
And literally,
that's
I did.
Right.
You helped me this whole weekend.
Right.
You know, so we paid it forward, and I got my help, and everything was a win-win, you know, and so forth.
That's
so,
right.
Before we kind of, we're going to get to one interview today on the show. So I'm going to just do a little plug before we end this podcast. Uh-huh. The one plug I want to say is go to Amazon.com to get our book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life. And it's interesting because one of the people that we interviewed, David Ross, which I'm not sure if he's going to be on this podcast or the next one, talks about giving up things. And he gave up two really bad, strong, sad habits that were really controlling his life. Had an amazing transformational story. And we know that sometimes not doing more, but getting rid of the stuff that's holding us back. And it was really nice talking to him about that and so forth. And then, so I suggest go to our Amazon page, pick up The Clutterfly Effect, support the podcast, support the Life of the Girlfriends. I'd appreciate that.
Right.
And, you know, at the Frank Kern event, was there one takeaway or just the whole thing? Tell me what was good about it for you.
Oh, for me, with the Frank Kern event, I think it's just the power of social marketing, social media, and the power of networking.
You're right.
And I've got several connections now that I didn't have before.
Right.
Matter of fact, I've got someone who's could be giving me some notes that she has on certain
running events because you have an opportunity.
I could be
possibly.
We'll see. I don't want to jinx it or even say it, but you know,
we're going to talk about it.
Could have some business opportunities coming up
but
that I'm really interested in.
I did think it was hysterical because as we were talking to these two lovely ladies from Chicago, just Clear Blue, man, they were hysterical.
They were.
Loved them.
I instantly loved them.
Loved them. You had the privilege of saying that you're a stay-home dad.
Yep.
And then two sentences later, you mentioned you have a nanny.
Yes.
And you became they grabbed onto that one.
Oh, right.
Wait a minute. Wait, what? Wait, what?
Yeah.
I mean, wait, why are you a nanny?
Well, I got to have time to myself. Come on.
Yes.
To do the things I want to do.
Yes. I can't be doing, you know.
Right.
And so that was hysterical to me.
Right.
And then you went and told the whole story, but
for
that brief second.
I was the stay-home dad who had a part-time nanny that came in 2 to 3 days a week.
Yes, and that was kind of funny.
Yes, it was.
Because then you had these two women going, wait a minute.
What?
Say what?
Yeah, because being a the original reaction was, stay-home dad. Oh,
sounds great.
That sounds great.
Awesome.
Oh, it's so admirable.
I applaud you.
Honorable. And
then stay-home women, they don't get applauded.
Nanny,
but
what was it? Wait a minute. No. Okay.
Something's
changed
here.
The rules have changed. You know, what has happened?
Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
So you got the same reaction another mother would get
when
she would say, I'm a stay-home mom, and I've got two nannies. Or I've got a nanny. Like, wait a minute, why do you need a nanny?
Right.
Because I need a little time for myself.
Right.
You know?
Whatever.
That's not the reason why, but but it is interesting. I thought that was a hysterical moment.
There are several reasons, and one of the perks is I get to have some time to myself.
Yes, and just take it.
That's right.
Take it. And one other reason is, you know, it's hard to give up family.
Yes.
You know, when
she's our family.
She's part of the family.
She's part of the family. She's not related, but we're kind of adopted her. We seem to adopt people.
Yeah.
And we love her.
And you're like, what can I do? Tell her no?
Yeah, no.
She's part of the family.
Right.
Maybe when the kids are in junior high, you may rethink this.
Sure.
But for the moment, it's all good.
Right.
For the moment, it's all good.
Right.
So I want to say thank you, everyone, for listening to this nice, wonderful, fun experience I had with my brother.
Thank you, Julie,
Greg,
for
and the podcast today. It's been great.
Thank you.
And we're going to listen to the interview right now with David Ross. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends, and I'm at the Frank Kern event in beautiful San Diego. Woohoo! San Diego, California. It's so beautiful here. Can't believe it. Actually, right now, it's actually warmer in Northern Illinois, which is pretty amazing. And I'm here with author David Ross. And he wrote the book, I Finally Quit, and So Can You, How to Gain Everything by Quitting. Now, I'm going to ask you what you mean by quitting. I just got done reading your book, loved it, but I also had to give you a big hug because you have an amazing story to share.
Thank you.
And, you know, we talk about, on Life of the Girlfriends, sometimes it's not more goals that you can do to make your life better. It's the things that you're not willing to give up that kind of prevent you from moving forward. And if gotcha. You're willing to give them up, finally, it's amazing what new life is on the other end of that.
Yeah, I can relate to that. You know, some of the things that we hold on to are actually things that keep us from goals inadvertently.
Right.
So, okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so I'd like you to tell them about your story and the two big, I call them sad habits that you've had. Yeah, you held on for quite a while, maybe a couple decades.
So first of all, you wanted to get my take on quitting or what that means.
Exactly.
So one of the things I love to make the separation from is quitting and giving up.
Okay.
Like as children, we're taught, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. We hear that a lot. But what people should probably say is don't give up, because quitting is not giving up. Sometimes, you know, I say a lot that giving up is easy. Quitting is hard, right?
Yes.
Because quitting really does, it takes work, you know,
right.
Because it's breaking free from a habit or something, an action or behavior that has held us back. So that's kind of my take on quitting.
No, I get that.
And the two things that the book primarily focuses on as far as quitting, the two big habits that I had were I smoked for 20 years and I drank heavily for 25 years. Mm-hmm. So the book is really a culmination. It's a 10-year period of how seemingly at the beginning of the book I had everything. You know, I had the downtown condo in San Diego. I had the fiance, I had all the friends, and I had plenty of money to do whatever I wanted. But because of my actions and behaviors, I ended up losing said fiance, apartment, income, and I did bounce around the country homeless without home for about 5 years. And in that process, I really kind of found myself, and I found that these bad habits were what led to that homelessness and also how to overcome it and then teach that to other people.
Well, and I think what I thought your story was so amazing is that and impressed upon me is that you were successful and you still have these addictions going on. And we can have a way of fooling ourselves like, you know what, it's okay right now. I'm smoking a little too much. I'm drinking a lot. But I got a successful job. I got a fiance that's hot. I love her.
And it's not only that we're telling ourselves that everything is okay, but I think for me anyway, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but but deep down, I knew that I wasn't okay, and I knew I was consuming too much booze.
Right.
But when confronted about it, you know, I want to tell everybody, no, 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 things are under control. Look at my bank account.
Right.
Look where I live.
Look at the shiny object over here.
Yeah, don't look at me. look over here.
Yeah. You're a magician, a sleight of hand guy.
Exactly, totally. And so it's not just that we're hiding that from ourselves, but I think as addicts, and I can still put myself in that category, a lot of times we'll hide these actions and behaviors from friends, loved ones, coworkers.
Right.
You know, so whether it's sneaking a cigarette around the corner or, you know, the actual amount of booze that we're consuming or whatever it might
be. And it's interesting because in your story and through the course of you had situations come up where you'd have like a major event happen due to drinking or situations and your family's helped you out. And you wonder if they knew more or wanted to help you more but we were afraid to help you more. Do you think they knew how bad it really was or were you really just good at hiding it?
That's a great question. And I'll tell you why. Just a little quick backstory. Living in an area like San Diego where it's so temperature is mild, we do have a lot of homelessness in the area. So seeing that, even when I was successful, I used to wonder, what does it really take for a person to get to that point to where their family has said, look, enough is enough and I can't really help you anymore.
Right.
So initially, did my family know? No, I think that they still thought, oh, Dave's successful. Dave is just in a down period and he'll be fine.
Right.
But as the book states, you know, I ended up first, after exhausting all friends in the area around San Diego and California, I ended up living in my brother's basement for about 6 months. And I think I do take a lot of responsibility for putting a lot of pressure on that young marriage and probably why that marriage may have failed. But I think it was scary for them to see the level of my consumption once I was there.
Right.
And I think that they could see, wow, every time he does get 10 cents, he figures out how to spend 14 on booze.
Right.
And so I think that that's why I was asked to move on. And once I was asked to move on, trying to get back in that door, like, hey, look, it's 6 months later and things are really, really bad. Can I come back? And the answer was typically no.
Right.
So
you burned that bridge.
Yes. Yeah. But since then, I've been able to rebuild them.
This is in the past.
Right, right.
A lot of good things have happened. Well, I want to talk about your first quitting, getting rid of cigarettes.
Yes.
And the process of doing that, because I thought it was a very, you had a great why, first of all, because by this time you had now moved in with your sister down in Florida, and you had a young niece living with you. And that was your motivation. You didn't want her, that was one of them at least.
Yes, yeah.
You didn't want her to be a, you know, she had a smoking cough already at the age of 11.
Yeah.
And you didn't want that to happen to her. So, you know, you felt that love, of course. But you start, you had like, okay, I'm going to quit in like a countdown series. I'm going to quit in four days or 5 days.
Yes.
And you started doing something I thought was pretty interesting. You trained your brain with visual images that you got on the web. You just, what, Googled quitting images or what did you do?
Yeah, so this is that's another great question. This is the precursor to where my 8 steps to quitting came from.
Right.
So back then, I didn't have a system, right? I was just somebody that was smoking for 20 years and hating it for 19 years and 364 days. So when I did get around my niece, she was 11 and a half at the time. You mentioned she had just a horrible smoker's cough because she was born into secondhand smoke. So basically what I did was, and this is now part, this is step one of my 8 steps, is to make a plan. So what I wanted to do was start putting visual reminders around of I wanted to quit. So I think I Google imaged or image Googled, however you say
it. Yeah,
the Google. I typed in things like no smoking sign, no smoking symbol, quitting. And so I would get these images, and I wasn't very computer savvy, believe it or not, at the time, but I would download these pictures and then I would set those as the screensavers and I would print them off. So in the spare bedroom with no bed where I was staying at my sister's, I would post these pictures up. I would post them by the door frame as I walked in and out so that I could remind myself, oh yes, I'm going to quit. And I went and I bought I was able to scrape together, I don't know what it was, $150 maybe, I don't remember. But I bought all 8 weeks of the patch because I was convinced I would need that. So basically I was making micro commitments to myself that I am going to do this. And so then there was a countdown, 5 days out, 4 days out, 3 days out. I would not recommend this part to anybody, but what I decided to do was the last day, day one before quitting, was to just make myself sick with cigarettes. And I smoked probably 3.5 times the normal amount that I normally would. And I was already, you know, smoking a pack and a half to 2 packs a day. So I went a 20-hour period where I do remember this at like 1 in the morning. You know, I was like, this is it. I remember like a tear rolling out of my eye. Like I could not smoke anymore. I was physically sick. And then I woke up in the morning and I had all my visual reminders and, you know, I threw on the patch and a couple of hours later I realized, wow, this is it. And I took off the patch and, I didn't wear them for 8 weeks. There was a mental switch in my head that I had found.
And I think, and you know, you might have thought about quitting before. I'm sure you did.
Time and time
you
again.
Tried. But something, and that's why you never give up, never give up. It's a process because this time with the mental images, you're formulating a plan. It took. You know, it took. And then that's the thing. We can't ever give up. I mean, failing is just forge ahead and leverage or just building the leverage to get to the next
time. I tell
time.
People all the time that I failed more times than I can count when it came to quitting smoking until I didn't. Like, it took that one last attempt. And you do have to persevere. You have to, what I call PhD.
I love this.
The pig-headed determination.
Yeah, I love that.
So I tell people I have my doctorate in quitting. And people, they say, oh, my God, you're a doctor. I'm like, well, not really. I just have a PhD, pig-headed determination. So it takes that fortitude that no matter what. And so whatever that that final tipping point is for a person, they need to find that. And for me, it was my niece. I didn't want to set that example that, you know, everybody in her life smokes.
And I want to just discuss one part of your story about the alcohol that you were consuming.
Yes.
When you were saying you were consuming a lot, that's an understatement. But you're a very successful or success-driven person, even in your alcohol. because you had a date. You're like, I'm going to quit drinking when I'm 40.
Yep.
Didn't make it because you had something happen.
Yep.
But your motivation for that, you say, was you go, I want to help people.
Yeah, I hadn't done anything yet.
I hadn't done, you know, and I think I don't want anybody to say that, you know, they drank more than me.
Right.
So I want to help everybody, so I better consume more.
Yeah, so.
And I love how our brain has a way of messing with us.
to that end, the relief that I felt when I quit smoking, that day when I took the patch back off, I did exhale and I went, oh,
right.
I finally quit. And something happened where I was like, you know, I was so elated, mm-hmm. and I got it. Like every time somebody had ever jumped up on their soapbox and told me to quit smoking, and my internal voice would fire and I would instantly hear, well, I'm glad you quit, but I smoke more than you. So whatever you did isn't going to work for me.
You knew some people's objections already. You're like, I better fight those off.
So I realized when I quit smoking, I thought, well, you know, even though I've done this, I haven't really accomplished anything yet because millions of people quit smoking. But if I, the person who'd lost everything because of how much I was drinking, and you know, I was drinking up to a fifth of bourbon. Well, over my minimum was a fifth of bourbon every day. And most people are like, well, how much is that, right? How much is a fifth? It's the equivalent of 4.5 bottles of wine every day.
Yeah.
And still getting up and being able to function somehow. So I, in that process, I thought, you know, if I could quit drinking, people that knew how much I drank, if they thought, wow, that guy could quit drinking, they would not have that internal argument with themselves of, well, I drink more than that guy, so whatever he did isn't going to work. So I consciously made the decision, if I could take away that argument from people, I'll drink this much every day until I turn 40. And when I turn 40, I'll turn off that switch. I will quit drinking. Then I can create the I finally quit movement.
Right.
But as you said, I didn't make it that long. My pancreas, liver, and kidneys decided to shut down. And I ended up in the hospital for 15 days.
So God had a plan for you.
Yeah.
He was like, you know what, David?
Let's just move forward.
Yeah. You don't have to do this.
Right.
You know, that imaginary date is done.
You've done your work. Yeah.
Yeah, you've done it. You set it up. You're going to help people now. You're good to go.
Right.
So tell us where we can go to learn more about, well, first of all, order your book.
Okay.
And where we can find out more about the I Quit movement.
Mm-hmm. So the book, I Finally Quit and So Can You, is definitely on Amazon and Audible, you know, so people can get it on their Kindle or their iPads or iPhones or whatever.
Now I'm going to ask this question. Do you narrate your own book?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
So it's all in my voice because I figure I lived it, so why not? And I'm a little bit passionate about it. So
a little. Okay.
So they can get more information, not just, you know, you can get the book there, but the website, ifinallyquit.com. Mm-hmm. At ifinallyquit.com, we have all sorts of tools, blog posts, and the action plan is there. People can download that for free.
Oh, great. That's wonderful.
So it's a 20-page PDF with 8 steps to quitting.
Okay.
And it does tell a little bit more about the, you know, the movement that we're trying to do, which is really simple. It's join, connect, quit, and inspire. We want people to join the I Finally Quit movement by quitting some action or behavior that no longer serves a valuable purpose in their life. Connect with other people. That's the whole key to this.
Yeah.
You know, so we do have a private members group for anybody that's purchased the book or any of our materials or anything like that. They then can connect with other IFQ people and be like, oh, you're quitting? I want to quit.
Yeah.
How are you doing it? Mm-hmm. Because one person's way of quitting smoking might not be, you know, if it's the patch, that might not work for somebody else. So somebody else can say, oh, you know what I did was every time I wanted one, I counted to 20 and walked outside or whatever. So it's more of a collaboration of quitters. And then when a person does quit, what happens is not only are they empowered, but they stick around because they get to tell their story, and that in and of itself inspires others. So that's the I Finally Quit movement.
And changing the world.
That's
really
what we're trying to do.
That's the whole point. Well, thank you so much, David, for your time. And thank you for me at the Frank Kernan event. It's awesome. I got to meet you. That's awesome.
I'm very thankful to be here, but very, very, very thankful for you and your time.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Hey, everyone. I wanted to say thank you for listening to this podcast, Life with the Girlfriends, with Christine, Marie, and Julie. This podcast today was a departure from our typical podcast. But boy, I really wanted you to hear that interview with David Ross. I finally quit, and so can you. Next week, Christine and I are going to discuss the book a little bit more about it and what we've learned and his amazing story. But I wanted you to hear the interview first. So you can always find out more about us at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com or TheClutterflyEffect.com. And once again, thank you very much. And it was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.